The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4 of the Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 23, The Supramental Instruments, Thought Process, page 841. The supermind, the divine gnosis, is not something entirely alien to our present consciousness. It is a superior instrumentation of the spirit, and all the operations of our normal consciousness are limited and inferior derivations from the supramental, because these are tentatives and constructions that the true and perfect, the spontaneous and harmonious nature and action of the spirit. Accordingly, when we rise from mind to supermind, the new power of consciousness does not reject, but uplifts, enlarges, and transfigures the operations of our soul and mind and life. It exalts and gives to them an ever greater reality of their power and performance. It does not limit itself either to the transformation of the superficial powers and action of the mind and psychic parts and the life, but it manifests and transforms also those rarer powers and that larger force and knowledge proper to our subliminal self that appear now to us as things occult, curiously psychic, abnormal. These things become in the supermental nature not at all abnormal, but perfectly natural and normal, not separately psychic, but spiritual, not occult and strange, but a direct, simple, inherent, and spontaneous action. The spirit is not limited like the waking material consciousness, and the supermind, when it takes possession of the waking consciousness, dematerializes it, delivers it from its limits, converts the material and the psychic into the nature of the spiritual being. The mental activity that can be most readily organized is, as has been already indicated, that of pure ideative knowledge. This is transformed on the higher level to the true jhana, supramental thought, supramental vision, the supramental knowledge by identity. The essential action of this supramental knowledge has been described in the preceding chapter. It is necessary, however, to see also how this knowledge works in outward application and how it deals with the data of existence. It differs from the action of the mind first in this respect that it works naturally with those operations that are to the mind the highest and the most difficult, acting in them or on them from above downward, and not with the hampered straining upward of the mind or with its restriction to its own and the inferior levels. The higher operations are not dependent on the lower assistance, but rather the lower operations depend on the higher not only for their guidance, but for their existence. The lower mental operations are therefore not only changed in character by the transformation, but are made entirely subordinate. And the higher mental operations, too, change their character, because, supramentalized, they begin to derive their light directly from the highest, the self-knowledge, or infinite knowledge. The normal thought action of the mind may, for this purpose, be viewed as constituted of a triple motion. First and lowest, and most necessary to the mental being in the body, is the habitual thought mind that founds its ideas upon the data given by the senses and by the surface experiences of the nervous and emotional being, and on the customary notions formed by the education and the outward life and environment. This habitual mind has two movements. One, a kind of constant undercurrent of mechanically recurrent thought, always repeating itself in the same round of physical, vital, emotional, practical, and summarily intellectual notion and experience. The other, more actively working upon all new experience that the mind is obliged to admit, and reducing it to formulas of habitual thinking. The mentality of the average man is limited by this habitual mind and moves very imperfectly outside its circle. A second grade of the thinking activity is the pragmatic idea mind that lifts itself above life and acts creatively as a mediator between the idea and the life power, between truth of life and truth of the idea not yet manifested in life. It draws material from life and builds out of it and upon it creative ideas that become dynamic for farther life development. On the other side, it receives new thought and mental experience from the mental plane, or more fundamentally, from the idea power of the infinite, and immediately turns it into mental idea force and a power for actual being and living. The whole turn of this pragmatic idea mind is towards action and experience, inward as well as outward, the inward casting itself outward for the sake of a completer satisfaction of reality. The outward, taken into the inward, and returning upon it, assimilated and changed for fresh formations. The thought is only or mainly interesting to the soul on this mental level as a means for a large range of action and experience. A third gradation of thinking opens in us the pure ideative mind which lives disinterestedly in truth of the idea, apart from any necessary dependence on its value for action and experience. It views the data of the senses and the superficial inner experience, but only to find the idea, the truth to which they bear witness, and to reduce them into terms of knowledge. It observes the creative action of mind in life in the same way, and for the same purpose. Its preoccupation is with knowledge. Its whole object is to have the delight of ideation, the search for truth, the effort to know itself and the world, and all that may lie behind its own action and the world action. This ideative mind is the highest reach of the intellect acting for itself, characteristically, in its own power and for its own purpose. It is difficult for the human mind to combine rightly and harmonize these three movements of the intelligence. The ordinary man lives mainly in the habitual, has a comparatively feeble action of the creative and pragmatic, and experiences a great difficulty in using it at all, or entering into the movement of the pure ideative mentality. The creative pragmatic mind is commonly too much occupied with its own motion to move freely and disinterestedly in the atmosphere of pure ideative order, and on the other hand, has often an insufficient grasp on the actualities imposed by the habitual mentality and the obstacles it imposes, as also on other movements of pragmatic thought and action than that which it is itself interested in building. The pure ideative mentality tends to construct abstract and arbitrary systems of truth, intellectual sections, and ideative edifices, and either misses the pragmatic movement necessary to life and lives only or mainly in ideas, or cannot act with sufficient power and directness in the life field, and is in danger of being divorced from or weak in the world of the practical and habitual mentality. An accommodation of some kind is made, But the tyranny of the predominant tendency interferes with the wholeness and unity of the thinking being. Mind fails to be assured master even of its own totality, because the secret of that totality lies beyond it, in the free unity of the self, free and therefore capable of an infinite multiplicity and diversity, and in the supramental power that can alone bring out in a natural perfection the organic multiple movement of the self's unity. The supermind, in its completeness, reverses the whole order of the mind's thinking. It lives not in the phenomenal, but in the essential, in the self, and sees all as being of the self and its power and form and movement. And all the thought and the process of the thought in the supermind must also be of that character. All its fundamental ideation is a rendering of the spiritual knowledge that acts by identity with all being and of the supramental vision. It moves, therefore, primarily among the eternal, the essential, and the universal truths of self and being and consciousness and infinite power and delight of being, not excluding all that seems to our present consciousness non-being. And all its particular thinking originates from and depends upon the power of these eternal verities. But in the second place, it is at home too with infinite aspects and applications, sequences and harmonies of the truths of being of the eternal. It lives, therefore, at its heights in all that which the action of the pure ideative mind is an effort to reach and discover. And even on its lower ranges, these things are to its luminous receptivity present, near, or easily grasped and available. But while the highest truths, or the pure ideas, are to the ideative mind abstractions, because mind lives partly in the phenomenal and partly in intellectual constructions, and has to use the method of abstraction to arrive at the higher realities, the supermind lives in the spirit, and therefore in the very substance of what these ideas and truths represent, or rather fundamentally are, and truly realizes them. Not only thinks, but in the act of thinking, feels and identifies itself with their substance. And to it, they are among the most substantial things that can be. Truths of consciousness and of essential being are, to the supermind, the very stuff of reality, more intimately and, as one might almost say, densely real than outward movement and form of being, although these too are to it movement and form of the reality and not, as they are to a certain action of the spiritualized mind, an illusion. The idea too is to it real idea, stuff of the reality of conscious being, full of power for the substantial rendering of the truth and therefore for creation. And again, while the pure ideative mind tends to build up arbitrary systems which are mental and partial constructions of the truth, the supermind is not bound by any representation or system, though it is perfectly able to represent and to arrange and construct in the living substance of the truth for the pragmatic purposes of the infinite. The mind, when it gets free from its exclusivenesses, systematizing, attachment to its own constructions, is at a loss in the infiniteness of the infinite, feels it as a chaos, even if a luminous chaos, is unable any longer to formulate, and therefore to think and act decisively, because all, even the most diverse or contradictory things, point at some truth in this infinity. And yet nothing it can think is entirely true, and all its formulations break down under the test of new suggestions from the infinite. It begins to look on the world as a phantasmagory, and thought as a chaos of scintillations out of the luminous indefinite. The mind, assailed by the vastness and freedom of the supermental, loses itself and finds no firm footing in the vastness. The supermind, on the contrary, can in its freedom construct harmonies of its thought, an expression of being on the firm ground of reality while still holding its infinite liberty and rejoicing in itself of infinite vastness. All that it thinks, is all that it is and does and lives, belongs to the truth, the right, the vast, satyam, ritam, brihat. Pausing, bottom page 845.